From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Voters in 36 states will choose a governor next month. Our political editor tells us only 13 of those races are truly competitive.
California's Republican governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, seems to be sailing to re-election. In New York, Democratic Attorney General Eliot Spitzer also has a commanding lead. And in Texas, Republican Governor Rick Perry tops a pack of challengers, including independent Kinky Friedman. Today, we look at three competitive governor's races that you may not have heard much about: Iowa, Minnesota, and Nevada.
In Iowa, there is a neck-and-neck race underway to succeed the outgoing Democratic Governor Tom Vilsack. The Democratic candidate is the current Secretary of State Chet Culver, and he's opposed by Republican Congressman Jim Nussel. Iowa has been very closely contested in several recent statewide races, and when there's a big race there or when the presidential hopefuls start prepping for the caucuses, we usually call upon columnist David Yepsen of the Des Moines Register. Welcome back to the program, David.
It's good to be with you, Robert.
What is the Iowa governor's race all about this year?
The issues in this race are not ones that you normally think of. There's not a great debate over taxes. They both agree on renewable fuels. That's like being for motherhood, apple pie, and the flag to endorse ethanol in Iowa. So it's much more, the voters has a more difficult choice of two candidates who are moderates sort of in their own party and who are really clashing more on style and experience questions.
To what degree do you hear about, in the campaign discussion there, do you hear about hot-button social issues, abortion, same-sex marriage, stem cell research, for example?
You hear a lot about those issues. The abortion question clearly divides the candidates. Chet Culver's pro-choice, Jim Nussel is pro-life, and the two find it useful to have that discussion. Culver's people believe that it helps them capture votes of independents and women. Nussel's people believe that the discussion helps them gin up their base and capture the social conservatives. So we've really had an inordinate amount of discussion about abortion and stem cell research and some of these hot-button issues, to the point where you do hear voters say, I wish they'd talk about something else.
Would the victorious gubernatorial candidate likely bring in a state legislative majority, or is that on another track altogether?
No, that's possible. The Democrats have a very good chance of taking control of both houses of the legislature. We've not had that happen in Iowa since 1965. If that happens, if they get what we call the trifecta of the governorship and both houses of the legislature, there'll be a lot of Democrats singing Happy Days Are Here Again in Iowa.
And does the race attract the kind of outside group advertising that you might see in a Senate race, say, where groups come in to attack Nussel from the Democratic side or to attack Culver from the Republican side?
Yes, there's a great deal of that. I mean, part of the reason for that has to do with the presidential caucuses here. In 2008, the race will be wide open for the presidency, and groups are already starting to try to get a foothold here.
It is only just 15 months till the Iowa caucuses for 2008.
It never ends in this state, Robert. There's always something happening on a presidential level.
Well, David Yepsen, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
It's David Yepsen, political columnist for the Des Moines Register.
Now we turn to Minnesota. Political watchers in the state didn't expect the governor's race to be much of a contest, and until recently, neither did sitting governor, Republican Tim Pawlenty. While it's turned out to be quite a tight race, the challenger, Democratic Attorney General Mike Hatch, has pulled ahead, according to some recent polls. Laura McCollum is covering the race for Minnesota Public Radio, where she is Capitol Bureau Chief. She joins us now from the Capitol in St. Paul. Welcome, Laura.
Hi, Michelle.
So how did this race turn out to be so close?
Well, you know, none of us would have predicted this a few months ago. Tim Pawlenty was a popular governor. He's gotten a lot of national attention. He's actually next in line to chair the National Governors Association, and now he's in the fight of his life.
Tell us a little bit about his opponent, Mike Hatch.
Well, Mike Hatch has been the state's attorney general for two terms. He has run for governor twice previously in the 90s and lost, but he's been a very visible attorney general. He's taken on some big cases and taken on lots of HMOs and big corporations, and so he is a very populist candidate, has very high name recognition, and so he's very competitive against Tim Pawlenty.
Laura, tell us about the big issues in this campaign. What's at stake for Minnesotans?
Well, a lot of the debate has been over what Tim Pawlenty did with the state budget and whether people think he handled the budget in a good way or a bad way. He took office when the state was facing a $4.5 billion deficit. He'd taken a no new taxes pledge, so he balanced the budget without raising state taxes. Now, Democrats have been hammering him that that's led to increased property taxes and fees and college tuition. The crux of it has been, do you like what he's done with the budget? Do you think the state should go a different direction?
Now, Minnesota is known for civility in politics. Have either of these candidates gone negative?
They have a little bit. They've attacked each other on issues. Tim Pawlenty is proposing that schools be required to spend 70% of their funding in the classroom. And he says, Mike Hatch doesn't support that. I'll fight for it.
So that's going negative Minnesota style.
Exactly. It's not as negative as you might see, but the parties are going very negative. Democrats are running an ad against Pawlenty right now that says Tim Pawlenty let sex offenders into nursing homes where they assaulted vulnerable people. So the parties are playing bad guy and the candidates are keeping it to the issues.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Laura McCollum is the Capitol Bureau Chief for Minnesota Public Radio.
And finally, to Nevada. It's the nation's fastest growing state, which means that it's hard to predict politically. In the race for governor, Republican Congressman Jim Gibbons has been ahead in the polls. He's from the rural northern part of the state. His opponent, Democrat Dina Titus, is close behind. She's a political science professor at the University of Nevada at Las Vegas. Molly Ball is covering the race for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and she joins us now from Las Vegas. Welcome to the program. How is each of the candidates trying to project himself or herself to the voters?
Well, Dina Titus, as you mentioned, is a professor. She's also been the minority leader of the state Senate for many years. And as a teacher, she's using that to try to create credibility for herself as an educator and thus someone who has a solution for education. Jim Gibbons is also emphasizing education, but his proposals are less specific, have more to do with just making sure that people have opportunities through the educational system.
As we mentioned, Gibbons is from the northern part of the state. Titus is from Las Vegas. And the people are in Las Vegas. No, that's where the population is. One would think that gives her a great natural advantage.
It's very interesting how the demographics of this state work out. You're correct. Jim Gibbons is, as he loves to tell people, the son of a railroad ditch digger from Sparks, Nevada. Titus is not from Las Vegas. She's from Georgia, and you can tell that when you hear her talk. She has a very pronounced Georgia accent. However, the state has been growing so fast, and all of the growth has been in Las Vegas, and the people in Las Vegas don't turn out to vote. In the northern and the rural parts of the state, they vote like it's their job. These are people who are very politically attuned and extremely conservative.
What do the campaign ads say about the gubernatorial race?
The candidates both came out swinging, and it's been a very negative campaign. Jim Gibbons' main attack on her is she will raise your taxes.
That's the Republican ad campaign against the Democratic candidate. The Democratic ads against the Republican candidate?
Right. And that is that he's part of the Washington problem. And so she's pinning things on him like the war in Iraq, the immigration bill, the energy bill, but saying, you know, you're paying high gas prices and it's his fault, those kinds of things.
We've heard both in Iowa and in Minnesota about some kind of drift over the past couple of weeks in the Democrats' favor. Do you get any sense of that in Nevada, or are the winds blowing the Republicans' way out there?
I think it's safe to say that nationally there is no wind in existence that is blowing favorably for the Republicans. But that is the X factor in this Nevada election. We are so far west that we don't get a lot of that Washington weather. But will it be enough to help Democratic candidates, hurt Republican candidates? That's the thing that we won't know until November 7th.
Molly Ball, thank you very much for talking with us about the Nevada governor's race.
Thanks for having me.
It's reporter Molly Ball of the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
You can read about all the governor's races at npr.org.